ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، فإن كثيرا من المسائل تطرح نفسها بإلحاح على الإنسان الذي يراقب الساحة السلفية، ولذلك فإني سأكون بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى صريحا جدا واضحا في طرف ما أقول وما أبينه إن شاء الله، لقول الله تبارك وتعالى: ليحيى من حي عن بينة ويهلك من هلك عن بينة. أول هذه المسائل التي أحببت أن أنبه عليها وأن أشير إليها أن الدعوة السلفية المباركة تشهد في هذه الأيام وفي هذه السنوات انتشارا واسعا، على رقعة العالم الإسلامي، بل في ديار الكفر كما نشاهدها. وهذه الدعوة إنما انطلقت من عوائقها بفضل الله أولا، ثم بفضل علماء السلف في هذا العصر الذين نظروا أنفسهم ووقتهم وما يملكون في سبيل بيانها. ولما رأى بعض الجماعات وبعض الأحزاب تغلغل هذه الدعوة في نفوس الشباب المتعطش للرجوع إلى كتاب الله وإلى سنة رسول الله وإلى تقييد هذا الرجوع بفهم خير القرون، أخذوا يلبسون على الدعوة السلفية ويظنون أن منهجها لم يعد واضحا في أذهان أتباعها أو في تصور دعاتها. لذلك فنحن سنشير إن شاء الله إلى أصول هذا المنهج المنضبط بفهم كتاب الله وبفهم سنة رسول الله وبفهم صحابة رسول الله وبفهم وبنقول العلماء الربانيين.
شيخنا سلطان خطبة الحاجة that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam used to recite that every lightness would come to the people to teach them. And he then after that by saying, many issues that come to us or come to the person who is Salafi today who is trying to practice and follow the minhaj of the Salaf, the way of the Salaf, these issues are being made present, and because of this, the Shaykh has taken it upon himself as a responsibility by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come here today to talk and to clarify some of these issues. And the Shaykh went on to say that in doing this, he wants all of you brothers and sisters to be aware of the fact that he's going to be extremely clear in what he has to say today and in what he has to explain today. Because of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when he said to Allah wa ta'ala, so that the person who lives will live on clear evidence. And so, and also the person who dies, he will also die on clear evidence. Meaning, everyone will know what's going on. He said that the first thing that he wants to draw your attention to, and the first thing that he wants to discuss here today, inshallah ta'ala, concerning this da'wah, is that the blessed da'wah of the da'wah of Salafiyya, it bears witness today as it did yesterday, that the da'wah is being spread all over the Muslim world. Not only is it being spread in the Muslim world, but it also is being spread in the places or in the states where the kuffar are living. As we can see this with our own eyes. He said that this da'wah spread is only because of the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or by virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, and then by the efforts of the ulama of this da'wah, or the scholars of this da'wah. The scholars who are present at this time, the contemporary scholars of the da'wah. The Shaykh went on to say that these ulama, they took themselves forward, and they took their time forward, and they sacrificed themselves and their time so that they can explain this da'wah to the people. And when this began to happen, he went on to say, and when this began to happen in some of the different jama'at, and some of the different ahzab, or these different groups from the Muslim, when they begin to recognize the efforts that the ulama of this da'wah were making in terms of trying to establish the da'wah and to explain and call to it, these jama'at begin to take it as an opportunity to start to make what's known as a talbis on the people. By starting to make the da'wah, to put the da'wah in a confused state in the minds of the people. To the point that even some of the du'as of this da'wah have come to the point where they do not even understand the da'wah. So they get before the people and they only make things more confused. So the Shaykh has come here today, inshallah ta'ala, to explain the usul or the fundamental principles that are connected with this da'wah to Salafiyya.
أولاً لماذا اخترنا هذا الاسم من دون الاسماء؟ ولماذا اخترنا الانتساب الى هذا المنهج من دون المناهج والمذاهب؟ يقول قوم ان التسمي بالسلفية بدعة في الدين، وأنها لم تؤثر عن خير القرون، وأنها بدعة محدثة في هذا العصر. بل كتب أحدهم كتابا وهو الدكتور البوطي، السلفية مرحلة زمانية أي أنها مضت وانقضت ولم يعد لها وجود، وأن التسمي بالسلفية إنما هو حدث في هذا العصر بعدما جاءت حركة الإصلاح في مصر على يد جمال الأفغاني ومحمد عبده وغيرهم من هؤلاء. وأقول أولا إن مصطلح السلف ورد في سنة رسول الله، الشاهد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لفاطمة كما في الحديث في مسلم: إني نعم السلف لك. وجاء أيضا في مقدمة صحيح مسلم عن عبد الله المبارك قال: لا تروا عن فلان فإنه كان يسب السلف الأول. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيضا في الحديث الذي في إسناده ضعف لكن نريد الكلمة أنها وردت، الذي أخرجه أحمد بإسناد فيه ضعف، فيه علي بن زيد بن جدعان لما مات عثمان إبراهيم بن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: الحق بسلفنا الصالح عثمان بن مضر. فورود هذه الكلمة ثابت في السنة وثابت في أقوال الأئمة. قال البخاري في صحيحه في كتاب الجهاد عن سعد بن راشد قال: كان السلف يحبون الفحولة. والمراد أن السلف من الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم، لأن سعد بن راشد تابعي، أن السلف أي الصحابة كانوا يحبون الفحولة من الخيل، أي يحبون الذكر في الجهاد أنه أقوى منه. إذن كلمة وردت في سنة رسول الله وأقوال الله، ووردت في اللغة أيضا للدلالة على من تقدمك من أهل العلم والفضل. هكذا يقول علماء اللغة: من فتح مثلا معجما كلسان العرب وغيره، كلمة السلف، السلف هم من تقدمك من أهل العلم والفضل. إذن الانتساب لهذه الفترة، لهذا الجيل، لهذه الأعصار يكون نسبة لغوية، سلف الانتساب إليهم سلفي، والانتساب إلى منهجهم سلفية. هل ورد في كتب أهل العلم الانتساب إليهم بصيغة سلفي وسلفية؟ لا. أورد المؤرخ الحافظ الذهبي في سير أعلام النبلاء في ترجمة الإمام الدارقطني قال: ولم يخض الرجل في شيء من علم الكلام، ولم يخض الرجل في شيء من علم الكلام، بل كان سلفيا، بل كان سلفيا. لذلك فإني أقول أن الانتساب لمنهج السلف ولا مذهب السلف تحت شعار وتحت اسم وتحت مصطلح السلفية هو من صميم الدين، هو من قلب هذا التاريخ الإسلامي الحاكم. بجهود هؤلاء العلماء نضر الله وجوههم وتقبل الله سعيهم وجمعنا بهم في عليين مع الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يا شيخ، we have to thank, first of all, the ones to ask this question. And that question is, in talking to you brothers and your sisters about the Asul of the Dawah to Salafiyah, The question that presents itself is, why has this name been picked as Salafiyya? Why have we picked this name, and why has this name been picked to describe this da'wah that is blessed? And also, why do we make the intisab, or the connection, to this name? He went on to say, because so many people, they have the nerve to say that this Salafiyya is a bid'ah in the deen. There are those who are saying this statement, and that they're saying that there is no proof whatsoever from the Khayrul Qurun, or the three best generations, the first 300 years of Islam. These people have the nerve to say that there is no proof whatsoever that this name has been used before. And they go on to say that this is a bid'ah of this time that has been created for this time and for the people of this time. As one of these people, the Shaykh went on to identify as Al-Buti. There's a man who's living in Al-Sham, his name is Al-Buti. He wrote a book that was called As-Salafiyya Marhalat al-Zamaniyya, where he went on to say that this Ad-Dawat al-Salafiyya is actually only something that has passed and it's not going to return. It's just that the people of this era are trying to create something for themselves after what they've seen from what took place in Egypt during the time of Jamal ad-Din al-Afghani and Rashid Rida. The Shaykh went on to explain that this Dawat al-Salafiyya, this word Salafi, or Salaf, you can find it in the Quran, you can find it from amongst the statements of the first three generations of Islam, unlike what these people are claiming. He went on to say the first proof of that is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam in an authentic hadith that's been narrated by Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his daughter Fatima, verily I am a good, or I am a blessed predecessor for you. Verily I am a good salaf for you, one who has proceeded. He said that's the first proof that this word was used. And then the Shaykh went on to explain that in the Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim, or in the introduction of Sahih Muslim, Al-Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala brought a statement of the famous Imam of Islam, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, in which Abdullah ibn Mubarak was recorded or reported to have said, do not take or transmit on such and such a person, for verily he used to curse the Salaf. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, do not take or transmit on such and such a person, because he used to curse the Salaf, those people who preceded Abdullah ibn Mubarak. The Shaykh went on to explain again that there is a hadith that's been collected by Imam Ahmed in his Muslim. And he says that even though this hadith is da'if, it has some da'af or some weakness in it, it's not authentic, because in the hadith is a man by the name of Ali ibn Zayd Jada'an. This man is da'if. But what the Shaykh wants to show you is the fact that this word has been used, and this principle has been used, by the people who preceded us. He went on to say that in the hadith of the incident in which the Prophet's son Ibrahim died, the hadith said that the Prophet said, and it's not authentic, that the Prophet said to Ibrahim, the ilhaq, or to catch up with the righteous Salaf. As if the Prophet said to his son, catch up in your death with the people who have preceded you. The Shaykh wants to only use this hadith, not to say that it's a hadith of sahih. He wants to explain that the word came in the time of the people who preceded us. He said also, the sunnah has gone on to explain this word on many occasions, and many of the imams of this religion, like Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book Sahih Bukhari, in the Kitab al-Jihad, or the Book of Jihad, on the authority of Sa'd ibn Rashid. And Sa'd ibn Rashid was from the Tabi'een. He said, according to Imam al-Bukhari, that the Salaf used to love the Fahula. And the Shaykh went on to explain that Al-Fahula meant They loved to use the horse that was a male. They loved to use the male horse in jihad because it was stronger than the female horse. The point here is the statement of Sa'd ibn Rashid that Salaf used to love to use. And Sa'd ibn Rashid is from the Tabi. So when he says, he's from the Tabi'een. So when he says that the Salaf used to love this, he's obviously talking about the Sahaba. Then the Shaykh went on to say that linguistically, in the language of Arabic, this word, Salaf, you can find it in any dictionary that you go to that the Arabs put together for themselves, like the Lisan al-Arab or any other mu'jam, where they say that the word Salaf is everyone who preceded you from the Ahl al-Ilm and from the Ahl al-Fadl, from the people of knowledge and from the people of respect. So the Shaykh went on to say, so therefore, Ikhwan, for us to connect ourselves to this concept and to this word, in actuality, this connection has nothing wrong with it from any aspect, linguistically or from the Quran or from the Sunnah, and it is permissible. And he went on to say another example of that is what Al-Imam al-Zahabi has written in his book, Sir A'lam al-Nubala, when he wanted to write about the autobiography of Al-Imam al-Dara-Qutni. When he said about Al-Imam al-Dara-Qutni, one of the great scholars of Islam, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, he did not take his narration, nor his knowledge from the people of Al-Ahwa, the people of Al-Kalam, the people of rhetoric. Al-Dara-Qutni did not take his knowledge from them. Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, but he took his knowledge from the Salaf. Another proof that the word was being used by the people who preceded them. So the Shaykh went on to conclude by saying that this name, As-Salaf and As-Salafi, is from the heart of the religion in meaning as well as in application when people apply it, as the ulama of hadith have brought it to us, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause their faces to shine and to connect us to them and to have mercy upon us as well as them.
الأمر الآخر أن بعض الجماعات تريد أن تستبدل هذا المصطلح بمصطلح هو فضفاض وهو مصطلح أهل السنة والجماعة، وهذا المصطلح لا يؤدي إلى التميز الذي ينبغي أن يكون بين دعاة السنة الذين هم على منهج السلف وبين غيرهم من أهل الأهواء، لأن كثيرا من الفرق الضالة كالأشعرية والماتوردية وكثير من الطرق الصوفية تدعي أنها من أهل السنة والجماعة، وأضرب على ذلك مثال، فإن شئتم أمثلة من راجع فصل الموجود في كتاب الفرق بين الفرق لعبد القاهر البغدادي المتعلق بالأشعرية، قال عنهم أهل السنة ولم يعرج على قسيمهم كما يدعون أن أهل السنة قسمين، أهل الرأي وأهل الحديث، لم يعرج على أهل الحديث بل لم يذكرهم البتة في كتابه، وقال عن الأشاعرة هم أهل السنة. ومثال آخر من أقوال مفكري الجماعات المعاصرة، يقول الشيخ سعيد حوى رحمه الله في كتابه جولات في الفقهين الكبير والأكبر، وقد سلمت الأمة قيادها لإمامين أهل إمامي أهل السنة، أبو الحسن الأشعري وأبي منصور الماتريدي. ولو جئت لكتب المتصوفة لوجدتها تقول أنهم من أهل السنة. إذن هذا المصطلح الفضفاض الذي يراد من استخدامه، ولا أقول شاكا أو مترددا أو متريثا، أن الإصرار على هذا المصطلح يراد منه تمييع الدعوة السلفية. يراد منه تنميع المنهج السلفي. لذلك فنحن نقول نصر على هذه النسبة الشرعية التي انبثقت من قلب تاريخنا الإسلامي. نحن عندما ننتسب إلى السلف ننتسب إلى خير القرون. وغيرنا لما ينتسب ويأتي باسم مبتدع لا ينتسب إلى خير القرون. هذه الجماعات على اختلاف أسمائها، على اختلاف مسمياتها، هل لها أصل شرعي كما لهذه الدعوة أصل شرعي في التسمية والانتساب؟ تفضل يا أوس.
The Sheikh went on to say that the second point that he wants to discuss with you brothers, hoping that you're all paying attention and that you're not going to sleep, he said that some groups today, what they tried to do is, they tried to create and to develop a new mustalah, or a new meaning, instead of the meaning ad-dawah as-salafiyah. They have an aversion to using this name, so they want to replace this name with the name Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah and the people of Jama'ah. The Shaykh went on to say that this title, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, does not give the true meaning of what we should be about. He said, nor does it distinguish between the true people who are in the Dawah to Salafiyah and what that implies. This Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah does not distinguish between that truth, nor does it distinguish between that truth and the different deviations that are present in the Muslim world today, in these different groups. He went on to say that many of these firq, or many of these groups, for an example, the Ash'ariya, the people who are on this madhab and this understanding, as well as the Maturidiyah, and he went on to say even the Sufiya, all of these groups claim to be Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So if we change the usage of the word as Salafiyah and we agree with them and we said Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then what's the difference between you and the Ash'ari, or you and the Sufi, or you and the Maturidi? So the Shaykh went on to say that he'll give you an example of what he's saying. The famous person by the name of Abdul Qadir al-Baghdadi, who wrote a book in Abdul Qahir al-Baghdadi, who wrote a book called The Difference Between the Different Ideologies in the with the Muslims. He said that in this book, when he wrote about the different groups, he never mentioned Ahl Hadith. He never made mention of them anywhere in his book. And then when he wanted to talk about the Asha'ira, he said about them that they were Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So therefore, if a person was reading that book and we agreed to use this term Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, if the person didn't know, he would assume that their way is the correct way. He said another example of this fact is the people who are known as Mufakkiruna today, the thinkers of today, the Islamic thinkers of today. For an example, the man Sa'id Hawa, and the Shaykh said and made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rahmah on this man. He went on to say in his book Jawlat, which is a book that talked about the fiqh kabir, and another book, this man said that this ummah has given its responsibility, or it has placed its affairs in the hands of the two great imams. The two great imams, meaning Abu Hassan al-Ash'ari and Abu Mansur al-Maturidi. These two men that he considered them to be from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The Shaykh went on to further elaborate by saying, and then when we look at the Sufiya, we see that they also, in many of their books, use this term for themselves. And clearly, what the people who are claiming to be Salafi believe and practice and understand is clearly not what these three groups claim and practice. So therefore, this new name that they want to apply, he says that he has no doubt, nor will he hesitate, nor would he take any time to think twice. That is only being put forward to us so as to cause the Dawah to Salafiyah to suffer at the expense of using this name. And the Shaykh went on to conclude by saying, so therefore, Ikhwan, he sees it as being imperative that we use this Islamic title, that we insist on using this Islamic title that has dalil, as he has put forth. And it was used by the best communities, the Khayr al-Qurun, or the best generations of this Ummah, and it is not a new name, nor should we accept a new name. But instead, when we look at those other people, we have to ask ourselves about the names that they created for themselves. Whatever the Jamaat is, and whatever the group is, we need to ask them, where did you people get that name from? Did you get it where you have someone from the Salaf mentioning it? Did you get it and you have some fundamentals that are allowing you to say that you are this? And if you were to do that, of course, you will not be able to get an answer.
أمر آخر اسمعوا إلى هذه الملاطفة اللطيفة مما جرى على مسمع بين شيخنا حفظه الله وبين أحد الكتاب ويسمى عبد الحليم أبو شقر وقد كان ضيفا على شيخنا في داره صار البحث حول هذه التسمية الرجل يقول لا يجوز التسمية باسم السلفية قال له من أنت؟ قال أنا مسلم قال مسلم الشيعي يقول أنا مسلم الدرزي يقول أنا مسلم الصوفي يقول أنا مسلم كل الفرق تقول أنا مسلم قال أنا مسلم على كتاب الله وعلى سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال له الشيعة تقول على الكتاب والسنة الخوارج يقولون على الكتاب والسنة المعتزلة يقولون على الكتاب والسنة الصوفية يقولون على الكتاب والسنة فعلى أي فهم أنت منهم؟ قال أنا على كتاب الله وعلى سنة رسول الله وعلى فهم الصحابة الكرام رضوان الله عليهم قال له الشيخ إن المقرر في علم اللسان وعلم اللغة أن خير الكلام ما قل ودل هناك لغة كلمة واحدة تغني عن هذين السطرين أنا مسلم على الكتاب والسنة بفهم السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليه قال ما هي؟ قال سلفي الأمر الآخر يا أحبائي كثير من الناس يريدون أن نترك هذا الاسم فهل تركوهم أسماءهم؟ هم يريدون أن نترك التسمية بهذا الاسم المبارك هل تركوهم أسماءهم؟ هل يرضون بأن يتركوا أسماءهم؟ هذا ما نتمنى أن تترك هذه الجماعات كلها هذه الأسماء ويسيروا حقا وصدقا على كتاب الله وعلى سنة رسول الله وعلى فهم السلف الصالح هذا ما نتمنى لكنهم يريدون أن نتعرى ليظهرون كما يظنون سوآتنا ولكن الله جللها بالستر لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى ندعو بدعاء رسول الله اللهم استر عوراتنا وأمن رواتنا فينبغي أن نعرف أين نضع أقدامنا أننا على محجة بيضاء ليلها كنهارها بإذن الله
The Shaykh sallamahu wa min kulli su went on to say that the next issue that he wants to discuss is that he wants you brothers to listen to something that happened with his Shaykh, Shaykh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani with a man by the name of Abdul Halim Abu Man?
Abu Shakka.
Abu Shakka. Abu Shakka. This man came to a Shaykh Nasir as a guest in his house and as a visitor to the Shaykh. And the man was opposed to using this name as Salafi. So he began to have a discussion with the Shaykh concerning this name and the usage of this name. So the man said, when the Shaykh asked him, well, how would you identify yourself and what you want and what you believe? The man said, I'm a Muslim. So the Shaykh went on to say that the Shiites, as well as the Druze, as well as the Sufis, all of them say that I'm a Muslim. So what's the difference between you and them? When you say that you're a Muslim, how do I understand that you're not from these three groups that are deviant and even outside of Islam, as the case is with the Druze? What's the difference between you and them? So the man went on to say, then I will say that I'm a Muslim following the Quran and the Sunnah. The Shaykh went on to say, likewise I say unto you, that the Shiites say that they are Muslims following the Quran and the Sunnah, and the Khawarij say that they are Muslims following the Quran and the Sunnah, and the Mu'tazila and the Sufiya, they say the same thing. So there's still no difference between you and between them. So the man, Abdul Halim, went on to say, then I'm a Muslim following the Quran and following the Sunnah according to the understanding and the application of the Sahaba. So the Shaykh went on to explain to this man something from the knowledge of the Arabic language. And that is, in Arabic, there's a statement in which they say that the best speech is the speech that is few in words, but it gives the meaning that you want. So therefore, you, Abdul Halim, can save yourself a lot of time and a lot of effort if you would just say that you were Salafi. Because it implies all of this that you've said, and we wouldn't have had to go through all of this discourse to get to this point. He went on to say another point that he would like to discuss with you people is that, and this is a very important point, that these people are always insisting that we leave this name as Salafi and a Dawah to Salafiyah. They're always coming to us, requesting from us to leave this name and trying to say that it's an innovation. And he said that I need to ask this question after realizing that the Dawah to Salafiyah is Mubarak and is blessed. Why is it that they're always requesting from us to leave our names, and they never, ever, ever leave the name that they created for themselves, that they have no dalil for whatsoever from the Quran nor from the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf? The Shaykh went on to say that we truly wish that if these people really wanted the Quran and the Sunnah, we truly wish that that was the case, and that they would apply it truthfully, not just with speech and slogans that are empty. He went on to conclude by saying that if we were to give up this name and to give up this understanding, what we will be doing in effect would be to expose our aura. And the aura, of course, is that part of your body that should not be seen, your nakedness. So the Shaykh said, but instead he advised you brothers to make the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make, and that was, oh Allah, cover up for us our nakedness and do not expose us to the people. He said that to say that we should clearly hold on to this name and not compromise in the usage of the name. He went on to say, and we also need to understand that our feet have to be planted firmly, realizing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought us what is referred to in the authentic hadith as the al-muhajjat al-bayda, that clear, distinctive argument. He said his night is like his day. No one goes off of this way, no one goes off of this argument, except that he will be destroyed.
بعد هذا البيان الذي فيه نوع من الإطناب، ولكن الضرورة ألجأتني إلى ذلك، الضرورة ألجأتني إلى ذلك. أقول إن السلفية ليست شعارا يرفع، والسلفية ليست قولا يقال، السلفية هي اتباع منهج الصحابة في العقيدة وفي التربية وفي السلوك وفي كل ما يدع الإنسان ويعمل، هي التقيد بضوابط هذا المنهج. ولذلك فنقول أن رأس منهجنا وأصل فكرتنا هو التوحيد. والدليل قول رسول الله رأس الأمر الإسلام، فسر العلماء الإسلام هنا بالتوحيد، لأنه ذكر أقسام أخرى، وعموده الصلاة وضروة سنامه الجهاد في سبيل الله، رأس الأمر التوحيد، الإسلام هو التوحيد، وهو في
دعوتنا ثلاثة أقسام: توحيد الربوبية، وتوحيد الألوهية، وتوحيد الأسماء والصفات، لا رابع لها. وأول من نقل هذا التقسيم هو ابن بطة العكبري في كتابه الإبانة، نقل عن السلف تقسيمهم هذا التقسيم. وفي هذا بعض لمقولة بعض أهل البدع الذي قالوا إن تقسيم التوحيد إلى ثلاثة أقسام يشبه توحيد النصارى. وقد ألف أخ حبيب طالب علم هو عبد الرزاق ابن عبد الشيخ عبد المحسن العباد حفظهم الله رسالة في بيان هذا الأمر، فعلى طلاب العلم بقراءتها واقتنائها. لكن بعض الناس في هذا العصر الذين ليس لهم سلف من العلماء أضافوا توحيدا رابعا، وهو توحيد الحاكمية. مسألة الحاكمية مسألة من صلب الدين، حتى نقطع الطريق على الذين يريدون أن يصطادوا في الماء العكر. مسألة الحكم، مسألة الحاكمية مسألة تفرد الله بالخلق والأمر والتشريع، لها اللباب في عقيدتنا، لكننا لا نحدث قولا لم يتفق عليه علماء السلف. وعلماء السلف يدرجون توحيد الألوهية، توحيد مسألة الحكم إن كانت من حيث الوصف لله فهي فعلا يدرجونه في توحيد الربوبية، وإن كانت من أفعالنا أي التحاكم إلى شرع الله وإلى إفراد الله تبارك وتعالى بالحكم والتشريع فهي في توحيد الألوهية. وأمر آخر أن مسألة الحكم لا تقتصر على الإمام الأكبر أو الإمام الأعظم، بل هي تندرج على كل من ولاه الله تبارك وتعالى مسؤولية ينبغي عليه أن يقيم حكم الله فيها. وهذا واضح جلي في قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الإمام الأعظم، كما في رواية للبخاري، راع ومسؤول عن رعيته. لم يقتصر الرسول فقط كما يقتصر بعض الناس، الإمام الأعظم راع وهو مسؤول عن رعيته، والرجل راع وهو مسؤول عن رعيته، والمرأة راعية وهي مسؤولة عن رعيتها، والخادم راع في مال سيده وهو مسؤول عن رعيته. ألا كلكم، انظروا إلى قول الرسول، ألا كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، فبماذا يسوس الراعي رعيته؟ الحاكم ينبغي أن يحكم بكتاب الله وسنة رسول الله، والرجل الذي هو أدنى هو راع، بماذا يجب أن يحكم في مسؤولياته؟ بكتاب الله وبسنة رسول الله. والمرأة في بيتها راعية ينبغي أن تحكم بكتاب الله وبسنة رسول الله، والخادم الذي يرعى مال سيده ينبغي عليه أن يسوس هذا المال بكتاب الله وبسنة رسول الله. وانظروا إلى الحديث الآخر، حديث ابن عمر في صحيح مسلم: المقسطون على وما ظلوا. انظروا إلى مفهوم الحاكمية في المنهج السلفي، ليس مجتزئة على الحاكم الذي له المسؤولية العظمى وعليه الإثم الأكبر أن هو غير أو بدل أو حرف، ولكن انحراف الحاكم وعدم تطبيقه للشرع لا يهدرنا أن لا نطبق الشرع. بعضهم، وهذا حدث معي والله إني صادق فيما أقول ولا أتزيد فيما أدعي، رجل من حزب التحرير، أقول له حول تبرج امرأته، فقال لي بالحرف الواحد: لا قوامة لي عليها إلا بعد قيام الدولة. ورجل منهم في هذا البلد العام الماضي تناقشنا حول صلاة الجماعة، هم لا يجيبونها، وقال هي لا تجب إلا بعد التمكين في الأرض، ولم يقتصر على ذلك بل قال مستدلا: الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر. فقلت له: وقبل التمكين ماذا يفعلون؟ لا يصلون ولا يزكون ولا يأمرون بالمعروف ولا ينهون عن المنكر. وينسوا أن التمكين ثمرة للتوحيد. وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم. فإقامة الدولة وقلب نظام الحكم ليس بيدي ولا بيدك، إنما هو بيد الله الذي خاطبني وخاطبك بأن نغير ما نقدر عليه. إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم، حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. تفضل يا
الشيخ. Went on to say, Ikhwan, that what has proceeded so far in terms of using this name As-Salafiyya and As-Salafi, and in terms of explaining it to you brothers that it is from the statements of the people who preceded us in this ummah, he said that he realizes that it may be a lot of things that he has said concerning it, but necessity has forced him to talk about these things. Necessity. He went on to say that you brothers need to understand that this term, As-Salafiyya, is not just a statement, nor is it a title that should be raised up in front of the people. But in fact, As-Salafiyya is Aqidah, and As-Salafiyya is Tarbiyah, and As-Salafiyya is Suluk, or good character. He said that the Salafiyya needs to be understood as being an all-encompassing principle that we should be on and practicing. He went on to say, and as far as this Salafiyya is concerned, the most important principle that is connected to it is the principle and the understanding of At-Tawheed, or the oneness and the unity of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And the reason that he says that is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in which the Prophet said in this hadith, verily the head of this affair is al-Islam. And its pillars is as-salah. And the peak of the matter is al-jihad fi sabilillah. He went on to say that the ulama or the scholars of al-Islam have explained in this hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam began by saying, Ra'sul Amr al-Islam, the head of this affair is al-Islam. The scholars translated al-Islam here as being at-tawheed. So the person can understand Ra'sul Amr at-tawheed. That the head of the affair is at-tawheed. The Shaykh went on to say concerning this tawheed, or this unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is divided into three divisions that need to be understood. The first division is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, or the fact that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has total lordship over us. That He is the creator. That He is the one who takes care of the affairs. That He is the one who is in control of this creation. And he said the second division of at-tawheed, which is the head and most important aspect of this religion, is tawheed al-uluhiyyah, or the tawheed of the worship of Allah. That you do not worship anyone other than Allah, you do not describe any other partners to Allah, or ascribe any other partners to Allah, you do not slaughter for other than Allah. He went on to say that the third division of at-tawheed is tawheed al-asma' wa-sifat. The Shaykh went on to make clear to you brothers that the very first person or scholar who made this division was a famous scholar by the name of Ibn al-Battah, who has a book called Al-Ibana. He wrote in this book this division that we've just gone through. And then the Shaykh wanted to make clear to you brothers that this is proof against the deviant who wrote a book saying that this division of the Tawheed into three categories, Al-Uluhiyyah and Al-Rububiyyah and Al-Asma wa Sifat, there's someone who said that this division is like the division of the Christian, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Shaykh went on to say that there was another book that was written as a refutation against that book by our brother Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. He said that the tulab al-ilm, the students of knowledge from amongst us, we should try to get this book in order to read this book so that we can have some clarification in the refutation on this man who made this statement. The Shaykh went on to say, but some people who are living amongst us now, some of our contemporaries, those people have no one from amongst the Salaf, nor do they have any of the ulama who have preceded them from amongst the Salaf. They have come forth and they put themselves forth. And they have made a fourth division to this Tawheed, which is the head of the affairs of al-Islam. And this new division is the Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah, or the Tawheed that Allah Ta'ala is the only one and the sole one who has the right to legislate. They've made this new division. The Shaykh went on to say that let it be clear to those people that they need to understand that he says that this Al-Hakimiyyah or the Tawheed Al-Hakimiyyah, the Shaykh said, is from the Sulb of Al-Islam, of the Deen. It's from the most inner, the most important parts and aspects of Al-Islam. He believes that and he knows that. He said that we make Allah tabarak wa ta'ala one, and that He created us, and that we assume and believe that Allah Ta'ala is in charge of all of the affairs, and that we believe and understand that Allah Ta'ala is the only one to legislate. This is something that no one should disagree with whatsoever. But this new statement of the people who say that the fourth division of a Tawheed is Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah, they have no one from amongst the recognized and reputed ulama of al-Islam who have preceded them in this issue. So that in and of itself is enough as evidence that it's astray and it's wrong. The Shaykh went on to clarify to you brothers about this issue of Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah. He said, if what is meant by this Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah as it relates to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and a description of Allah that He is the one who legislates and He is the one who rules. He said as it relates to that issue, then Tawheed al-Hakamiyya is in fact under Tawheed al-Rububiyya. If it's talking about the fact that Allah is the one who rules and Allah is the one who legislates, then this is Tawheed al-Rububiyya. But if a person is talking about this Tawheed al-Hakamiyya as it relates to the servants, that they recognize in their actions that only Allah Ta'ala is the one who has the ability to legislate, then it goes under the Tawheed of Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. The Shaykh went on to say, another issue that I want to discuss with you brothers is the fact that this issue of al-Hukum, the ruling of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he said it's not only for the Imam of the Muslims or the leader of the Muslims, as some people will have you to think, but the fact that we judge by only that which Allah revealed, this concept is for every single Muslim, that we all are accountable and we all are responsible to judge by that which Allah revealed. And this is something that is clear, he said. He said the proof of that is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sahih al-Bukhari. Because there are different riwayat or different narrations for this hadith. He said the one in Sahih al-Bukhari is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Imam al-A'zam, the greatest Imam, the leader of the Muslims, the Prophet said, the leader of the Muslims is a shepherd and he will be held accountable for his flock. And the man, the ordinary man, is a shepherd, and he will be held responsible for his flock. And the woman is a shepherd, and she will be held responsible for her husband's house and his children. And the servant or the slave is a shepherd, and he will be held responsible for his master's property. The Shaykh went on to say, as for the biggest ruler, the Hakim, the leader of the Muslims, this man is responsible, no doubt, but also every single man is also responsible. The leader is responsible to go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. And every single ordinary man is required by law to go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. Every single woman is responsible by the law that Allah has legislated to go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. And every single slave is responsible to go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. He said, all you have to do, ikhwan, as a proof, is to look at the hadith that's been collected by Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet said in this hadith, the muqsituna, or those people who are just when they rule, and this is a general statement that the Prophet made, he said, all of those people who are just, when they rule, they will be our members made out of light on the right side of Allah. And those people who rule with justice in their families and in every issue that they have been made responsible for, these people will be our members made out of light, Yawm Qiyamah. The Shaykh went on to show or to say that this hadith clearly shows us that when Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made these statements, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was clear in making all of you responsible for being just in your rule. So therefore, where do the people get off from making this division and only saying it's for the ruler? The Shaykh went on to say that we also recognize though that the Hakim or the Muslim ruler, his responsibility is the greatest responsibility. His responsibility is not like ours. So we all must apply this issue of going back to the Quran and back to the Sunnah. He said he wants to share with you brothers an incident to explain to you the sickness of this division that the people had. He said there was a man from the group called Hizb al-Tahrir. This group that wants or claims that they want to establish the Khilafah of al-Islam. The Shaykh said, in talking with this man, whose wife was a woman who did not wear the proper hijab, he said to this man, listen, Before continuing to debate with me and talking about establishing the Islamic State, your wife is mutabarraj. Your wife is not dressing properly. Go to your wife and make her dress first before talking to me about this issue. He said that the man said to him, and he says to you exactly what he said. I have no authority over her until after the Islamic State is established. Then the Shaykh went on to say, also an incident that happened to me with these people is something that happened to another man from Hizb ut-Tahrir last year in this country. He said that they were discussing the issue of the Salah in the Jama'ah, whether it was wajib or not wajib. So the man said to the Shaykh that the Salah in the Jama'ah is not wajib until the Islamic State has been established. And he used the proof for that argument, the statement of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in the Quran when he said, and those people who, when we established them in the earth, they established Salah and they give Zakat. So the man's point of proof was that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, and those people after establishing them in the earth, they established Salah after establishment in the earth. The Shaykh went on to say that he said to the man, and what are we supposed to be doing before that? Not praying. Besides, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala said in another ayat of the Quran, and the Shaykh was trying to get him to understand about this tamkeen in the earth, Allah said, verily we have promised those people who believe and who do good deeds that we will establish them in the earth and that we will establish their religion and we will give them safety after once being afraid. So the Shaykh used that ayat of the Quran to explain to this man that one of the conditions to be established in the earth is that you have iman first and you have the righteous deed. Not as he understands, the establishment first and then we establish the Salah and Zakat. So the Shaykh went on to say that we need to understand, Ikhwan, that this tamkeen or this establishment is not our responsibility. It's not your job nor is it my job. But it's the job or it is in Allah's hands and He is the one who would do it. And we need to know that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said in the Quran, I will not change the condition of a people until those people first change their own condition.
وأكمل موقفنا من هذه الناحية أننا لم ندعي ذلك الآن في هذه الأيام، بل أن من أصول دعوتنا التي كان يكتبها شيخنا على كتبه قبل 50 سنة ومن أهدافنا السعي نحو استئناف حياة إسلامية وتطبيق حكم الله في الأرض. هذا من أهداف دعوتنا ونسعى لتحقيقه، لكن لنا وسائلنا ولنا فكرتنا التي نبنيها على فهم كتاب الله وعلى فهم سنة رسول الله وعلى فهم سلفنا الصالح. ومن هذا يتفرع موقفنا من الحكام، وهي التي استهلكت وقت الشباب المسلم وحالت بينه وبين تفقه في دينه، وحالت بينه وبين معرفة أبجديات عقيدته. نقول موقفنا موقف الصحابة في تفسير قول الله تبارك وتعالى، ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون. قال حبر الأمة وترجمان القرآن ابن عباس كما روي عنه في الأسانيد الصحيحة، الأسانيد الصحيحة أقول. وقد قام أخي في الله الشيخ علي الحلبي باستقصاء أسانيد هذه الرواية عن ابن عباس من 8 طرق في رسالة صغيرة، ومن شاء فليتأكد منها. القول المأمون فيما نقل عن ابن عباس في تفسير قول الله تعالى: ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون. ثم أقول هذا قول الصحابة عامة وليس ادعاء من عندي. قال ابن القيم رحمة الله عليه في كتابه مدارج السالكين في الجزء الأول، قال تعقيبا على قول ابن عباس: وهذا قول عامة الصحابة بل أكثرهم، لا أعلم لهم مخالفة. وأنا أنقل بالحرف الواحد عن ابن القيم: وهذا قول عامة الصحابة بل أكثرهم، لا أعلم لهم مخالف. فمن استحل الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله أو رأى أنه مخير في الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله أو رأى أن حكم غير الله أحسن من حكم الله فهو كافر خارج من ملة الإسلام، وإن رأى غير ذلك حكم بغير ما أنزل الله لخوف أو لوراثة أو لغيرها ولم يظهر عليه استحلال فهو كفر عملي لا يخرج من الملة، ولا يلزمنا أحد بتنزيل هذا الحكم على أعيان الحكام، لأننا أبصر في واقعنا من الحيث السياسة الشرعية. أقول هذا للأسف، لأن بعض الأخوة في الأمس في اليوتيوب، وهذا لا بد من بيانه لأن الله لا يستحي من الحق، كنا في جلسة مع إخواننا نريد أن نتباحث في أمر مسائل العلم التي تهمهم في هذه الديار، تهمهم في هذه الديار. أحدهم يطلق زوجته لا يعرف، المرأة تطلب الخلق لا تعرف، المشاكل الأسرية، الربا، التعامل بالخنزير، نريد أن نتفقه مع إخواننا في هذه المسائل. فإذا بهم قد حضروا الأسئلة، السؤال الأول هكذا يا أخواني، والمادة مسجلة على شريط: ما حكم، ما رأيكم في الحسين بن طلال؟ وأنا أقول والله لا أخشى إلا الله، والله لا أخشى إلا الله. وأنا عندما لا أجيب على سؤال لا أكون خائفا، ولكني أدرى بأوضاع بلادنا وأدرى بأحوالنا وأدرى بها من غيرنا. هكذا: ما رأيكم، ما رأي الإسلام في الحسين بن طلال الذي عقد الصلح مع اليهود والذي زار رابين وبكى وأتمنى أن يموت مثلي؟ كأني لا أعلم ذلك، بل أعلم ما لا يعلم. أريد أن ألطف هذا الاندفاع. قلت له: يا أخي، ماذا تقول في قول الله تبارك وتعالى: ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون؟ قال ابن عباس: كفر دون كفر. المسكين مبرمج، مبرمج مثل آلة التسجيل، فإذا بأميره مقطع اليدين يقول لي بالحرف الواحد: أنت تكذب على الصحابة. هذا الأدب مع طلاب العلم، والله لا ندعي العلم ولا ندعي أننا أهلي، ولكن نرجو أن نكون منه. فلما رأيت الأمر فيه مرارا حاولت أن أهدئهم وقلت لهم لكم ما تختارون. إن المناظرة في هذه الكلمة التي ادعاها أنني أكذب على صحابة رسول الله فيما يصورون ويهولون كما جاءتني ورقة اليوم منهم ادعوا عقد مناظرة في مسألة الحاكمية، أهي سنة أم بدعة؟ نحن نقول أن الحاكمية بدعة، بل هي لباب ديننا وأصل فكرتنا. نحن نباهلهم نناظرهم فيما ادعوا علينا من أننا نكذب على صحابة رسول الله. هذه يا أخواني أحببت أن أقولها ليهلك من هلك عن بينة ويحيى من حيى عن بينة. ثم هم يلزموننا بأن نتناقش في بعض الأمور. نحن نعلم أن هذه الجماعات مخترقة من المخابرات العالمية، وأقرب مثال أضربه إليكم الشيخ عمر عبد الرحمن في مدينة نيويورك. من الذي سلمه؟ مترجمه عماد سالم. وأخبرني أخ حبيب هو الشيخ محمد عثمان أن آخر اعترف في المحكمة أنه منذ سنتين مجند مع المخابرات المصرية. أنا سأعود إلى بلدي وهو قابع في جحره في لندن. أنا أجيب عما أعلم أنه ليس فيه ضرر علي ولا على أهلي ولا على دعوتي ولا على إخواني، لأني أعلم وللأسف أقول هذا بمرارة أن هذا الرجل الذي يتزعمهم في هذه البلد، أقولها بمرارة، عندما كان في الأردن كان يعمل سرا مع جماعة التبليغ وينظم أفرادها لجماعة غازي التوبة، وقد حدث وأنا أعزو ما أقول ومن شاء فليتصل فليتصل، حدث نقاش بينه وبين أخي بالله علي الحلبي في مسجد جماعة التبليغ في مدينة الحجاج حول جماعة غازي التوبة، وكان يومئذ فيها في مجلس شوراها، فأخبره الأخ علي بما يعلم عن هذه الجماعة، فنقل هذا الرجل هذه المعلومات إلى مجلس الشورى فقررت قتل علي الحلبي. وهذا علي الحلبي تعرفونه، وتلفونه معروف، واسألوه إن شئتم عن هذه الحادثة. نفاجأ بعد 5 أشهر وإذا بجميع أفراد جماعة غاز التوبة يسجنون في الأردن بما فيهم ابنه عماد الذي يقيم الآن في فلوريدا مع أبيه، وإذا بالرجل يخرج سالما وإذا بعلي الحلبي وبسليم الهلالي يزج في السجن 45 ليلة في أقبية السجون لا ندري لماذا، وإذا بهم يعترفون أن فلان وفلان منا. هذه أخواني أحوال أحببت أن تكون على بينة. والله نحن لا نهرب من مناظرة ولا نهرب من مباهلة ولا نهرب من شيء، لأن دعوتنا واضحة وضوح الشمس. واضحة وضوح الشمس. وقد أخبرني الأخوة للأسف أن هذا الموقف تكرر مع أخي في الله الشيخ مجدي وردة قبل أشهر عندما زار هذه البلاد.
تفضل. الشيخ سلمه الله من كل سوء إن غضب الناس، لأن هذا الدين هو بعلم، والناس يريدون العواطف والكذب والتزوير، ونحن من أوضح الناس بيانا للحق، ولا نكذب على الناس ولا نخبي ما عندنا. فمن أراد المناقشة العلمية فنحن موجودون، ومن أراد الأساليب اليهودية فلكم ذلك، وموعدنا المحشر عند رب العالمين الحكيم العظيم. The Sheikh went on to say that he's going to finish this by saying to you, Ikhwan, that before 50 years, and he was talking before all of this about Tawheed al-Hakimiyya, that some people say that we do not believe in the fact that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has the right to judge, and only Allah Ta'ala has the right to judge. The Shaykh went on to say concerning this point, before 50 years, Shaykh Nasir al-Din al-Albani used to write on all of his books, the back of the book, or somewhere this statement could be found in his book. He used to explain our dawah, and he used to say, the principles of our dawah is that we bring back the Islamic life, the true way of life for the Muslim. And another thing he used to write on his book was that we want to establish the hukum of Allah Ta'ala on the earth. He used to say this before 50 years, showing that the Tawheed al-Hakimiyya was something understood by Sheikh Nasir and other than Sheikh Nasir. Because the people are lying and they are attributing to us that which we do not believe. The Shaykh said concerning this issue, first of all, you brothers need to understand, in order to make the Tawheed al-Hakimiyya and to establish Allah's ruling on the earth, we have wasa'il or methods from the Quran and the Sunnah. And we have a thought or a frame of mind, a fikr from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And from the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. So unfortunately, these people have made the Shabab or the youngsters, the young brothers, they've made them busy with concerning themselves about the Hukam as it relates to this Tawheed al-Hakimiyya. So that it has wasted a lot of the time of the Shabab. And it has taken them away from getting fiqh in the religion of Allah, getting understanding about the religion. And it has prevented us from making any progress in our Islamic dawah and our Islamic efforts. The Shaykh went on to say that our position concerning the statement in the Quran, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ, whoever does not judge by that which Allah has revealed, for verily those are the kuffar. The Shaykh said that our position and our understanding of this ayah is the understanding of the Sahaba, and no understanding other than that, as it has been explained by the scholar of this Ummah and the one who was described as being the translator of the Quran, the Hibr al-Ummah and the Turjuman al-Quran, Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. This statement of his has come in authentic chain of narration. And for your information, students of knowledge, my brother and our Shaykh Ali al-Halabi, hafidhuhu Allah ta'ala, he has authored a book in which he has gathered up all of the narrations concerning the tafsir of Ibn Abbas for this ayah. So if you want to know about the authenticity of this ayah, then return to the book, because it has been dealt with scholastically for those who want to get benefit. He said that this tafsir of Ibn Abbas is authentic concerning this ayah. And that tafsir of Ibn Abbas is that he said to the people concerning this ayah, and whoever does not judge by that which Allah has revealed, verily they are the kuffar. When the people came to him to ask him about that ayah, he said, it is not the disbelief that you people are understanding. They thought it meant the disbelief that takes a person outside of Islam. Ibn Abbas said the meaning of the ayah is that this is the disbelief or the kufr that is not the kufr that takes you outside of Islam, but the kufr al-amali, the disbelief of a man's deeds and actions. The Shaykh went on to say that this is not his statement. And this is not Ibn Abbas's statement alone, but it is the statement of all of the Sahaba. And this is not his statement and claiming that it is the statement of all the Sahaba. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his famous book, Mudaraj al-Salikin, in the first volume of that work, Ibn al-Qayyim said, after bringing the ayah and the explanation of Ibn Abbas, Ibn al-Qayyim said, and this statement of Ibn Abbas is the opinion of all of the Sahaba, and I do not know anyone from amongst them who differed with them in that meaning. So the Shaykh mentioned that to show you, brothers, that there were from the ulama, those who preceded us, who said that this was the understanding of the Sahaba. And he said that this statement that he said to you about the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim, he said it from memorization. He didn't say it in the meaning. He said it from memorization. So all you have to do is go back to that book and you can find it. He said, but I'll make it clear today that anyone who says that judging by other than what Allah has revealed, which is called al-istihlal, anyone who does this, and they say this halal or permissible to judge by other than that which Allah has revealed, then this person is a kafir who goes outside of Islam. If the person thinks that it's permissible, it's halal to judge by other than what Allah has revealed, he's a kafir. Or if a person believes that he has a choice, he's mukhayyir, and he has a choice to take what Allah revealed or to take something else, he's a kafir. If he believes, his aqidah is that he believes he has a choice. And if a person judges by other than that which Allah revealed, and he thinks that his judgment is better, then he is no doubt a kafir. But if the person judges by other than that which Allah revealed out of fear, or if that person judges by other than that which Allah revealed because it's something that he just inherited, he inherited this position, so he's acting like the people were before, he said, then this, we cannot say that he goes outside of Islam, because it is not clear that he has said it is halal. If he does this out of fear, we are not clear as to why he's doing it, so we can't say he's a kafir until we know what is his belief. But this is from the kufr al-amali, the kufr of the deeds. The Shaykh went on to say, so do not let some of you brothers come to the Shaykh and try to make him say about the hukam that which he doesn't want to say, because it's going to appease them and their desires. He went on to tell you brothers about a most unfortunate incident that happened yesterday in Luton. And this tape is available. And the people can get the tape to see the bad adab of the people who cry and shout that they want to establish the Islamic State. And when you get this tape, I say unto you, Ikhwan, that the truth, the haq, it does not need people to scream and to shout and to holler in order to be helped. The haq by itself can stand up. So come with a scholastic attitude and debate. But when you listen to this tape, you're going to see the adab of the people who want to establish the Islamic State.
with a ضيف, these are my words, with a guest, who no doubt is a guest, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, the Prophet told us, whoever believed in Allah in the last day, then let him say good or let him be quiet. Whoever believed in Allah in the last day, then let him treat his guests good, honorably. So do we say because of the way you treated our ضيف, our guest, that you are a kafir? We're going to use the same methodology? Because he's a ضيف. And that was not ikram that we saw yesterday. And listen to the tape and judge for yourselves. But Ahlul Hadith, the Salafiyin, are the arham al-nas bin-nas. And we're not going to use that methodology. The Shaykh went on to say that in talking about Luton, he is not afraid to speak the truth because Allah is not shy of the truth. He went on to say that when those brothers came to the Shaykh, he wanted to meet the brothers and he wanted to talk to the brothers from England about some of their problems. They had questions and they needed someone of knowledge to answer the question. So he went to talk to them about the issues of talaq, the issue of the woman wanting a divorce from her husband, the issue of the problems that are facing the families, the issues of what should we eat and what shouldn't we eat, of al-khindir, the issues of riba, and we have all these problems facing us in this country. He said, lo and behold, when he went there, the very first question that he was asked by one of the brothers was, what is the ruling concerning Hussein ibn Talaq, the leader of Jordan? The Shaykh went on to say that he is not afraid of anyone, and that he knew how to answer the question. He said that he knows his country better than they think that they know his country. And he knows the problems that are in this country. He went on to say it was as if they thought that I didn't know some of the statements of this man. Because the sa'il, the questioner said that this man, the sa'il said that this man, qala sa'il, that this man said that Ishaq Rabin, the Jew, was his brother and he wanted to die like him. So he wanted the Shaykh to say he's a disbeliever. So the Shaykh went on to say to the brother, Ibn Abbas said concerning this ayah, whoever does not judge by that which Allah revealed, he is a kafir, but his kufr, that's not the kufr that takes you outside of Islam. And he wanted to explain what he explained to you brothers about the person making it halal or not making it halal. At that time, the man became angry with that statement and the Shaykh didn't finish and he said one of the leaders of them over there, and the Shaykh described him as being a person whose hands were cut off, and he didn't describe him as being a person whose hands are cut off تَنَقُّسٍ مِنْهُ وَلَا مُخْتَارٍ فِيهِ. But he describes him as a man whose hand is cut off as a wasp, so that people don't run away and say that the Shaykh ظَلَمَ الرَّجُلُ, he said it as a wasp. So the Shaykh said that this man said, verily you have lied on the Sahaba. He accused the Shaykh of lying on the companion. At that time, the voices begin to be raised in the jalsa and everyone was screaming. So the Shaykh became upset and he said to them, okay, I give you people my word that I would challenge you to a debate about this issue of the statement of Ibn Abbas, whether it's authentic or not authentic and what does it mean. He said, I give you my word. And the speech is recorded. And then they kept screaming at the Shaykh. So the Shaykh said, okay, if you want to act like that, then I'll even challenge you to a mubahala. And what's the mubahala? When the person comes and say, I bring my family, my wife, my children, and you bring your wives and your children. And let us invoke the curse of Allah on the one who's lying. The mubahala on what? Whether or not the Shaykh lied on Ibn Abbas and lied on the Sahaba. That's what the Shaykh said. So the Shaykh went on to say that, and then we came today and we were surprised to find that someone had created a poster in which they said on this poster that the Sheikh has agreed to give a debate about Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah. And no one ever asked him about that, not over there nor here. And this poster was being passed out. So the Sheikh went on to say that it's really sad and it's a shame that the people treat him and they act this way. He said that I only say this because of the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, so that the person who lives may live on clear evidence, and so the person who dies may die on clear evidence. We have clear proof that some of these people are from the secret services of the international arena, that they are spies for the international arena.